Good morning, and welcome to another in our series of mini shiurim on the book of Ezra. Good Chodesh, Chodesh Tov, welcome to Nisan, a month of Geula, a month of redemption. We are learning in the merit of the IDF, Israel's emergency services, the hostages, and the injured. And we are in Ezra chapter 3. We're up to Pasuk Zion, sentence 7. The Jews are taking their first steps towards their growth and the construction of a Beis HaMikdash. We said that it is now the seventh month, also known as the month of Tishrei, and they celebrate the holiday of Sukkot. And then we're told, if you take a look at chapter 3, sentence 7, Vayitnu kesef lachotzvim v'lacharashim. They gave money to builders, essentially, people who chisel, people who work in the crafts, umachal umishtav hashemen latzidonim v'latzorim, and they gave food for people from Tzidon and Tzor up north. Tzidon and Tzor are northern areas in what is today identified as Lebanon. Tzor is Tyre. Lahavi atzei arazim and halavanon el yam yafo kirishion koresh melech paras aleihem. For them to bring cedar wood from Lebanon to the sea by Yafo, in other words, to the port in Yafo, according to the license of Cyrus the Persian king. So, what permission are we talking about here? Two ways to read it. Simple way to read it is the king permitted them to build the Beis HaMikdash, so they're doing this in accord with his permission overall for the project. But we're going to see in a moment, based on an idea in the Malbim, that these actually may have been Cyrus's trees that they are taking, and they have his permission to take them. In order to get to that point, we need to first ask, why are they taking cedars from Lebanon in order to build their Beis HaMikdash? What is it about those? So you could look at it at a very practical level. They're the reasonable source. You have a good port for shipping them. They're good wood. Professor Mordechai Zer Kavod in the Dat Mikra edition, and page 24, footnote number 10, says, I'm reading my translation, Lebanon provided wood for all conquerors, as emerges from the writings of the Egyptians, Assyrians, and Babylonians. The Persians appointed a special officer over the king's woods, the guardian of the orchard, and then he refers you to Herodotus, book 7, page 116. So it's possible you just took cedars from Lebanon because that was the building material. But the Malbim notes something. In Nehemiah chapter 2, we find Nehemiah get permission from King Artaxasta to come build the walls of Yerushalayim. And he is going to get trees there. And there in chapter 2, sentence 8 in Nehemiah, it's going to say the following. He gets an igeret, a letter, to Asaf, who is Shomer HaPardes, the guardian of the orchard Asher Lamelech, of the king's orchard. Asher Yitain Li Eitzim, Nehemiah is writing this. He says, he gets a letter to Asaf to give me wood. Lekaros et Sharei Abira Shel Abayis, in order to use it for the beams, for the gates of this thing that he is building, Chomaseir, the walls of the city, and so on. So the point is that he gets permission to take the king's wood. So maybe, like what Nehemiah is doing, using wood from the Persian king Artaxasta, maybe that's what's going on here, that they're getting the trees. Malbim makes that point, just that Nehemiah got permission to use the trees of the Persian king. So maybe that's what's going on over here as well. Perhaps these trees are Cyrus's property, and we get them, in fact, for free, as licensed by Cyrus. So two reasons to use this. Number one, it's a reasonable source of good wood that everybody who came through the area used. Number two, it could be we got them for free from the Persian king. Score. And then third possibility on this goes back to something we've talked about before, which is the attempt to demonstrate our authenticity and to buck up the spirits of the people by emulating what went on with previous geulot, previous redemptions, and previous arrivals in the land. So this mirrors the first Beis HaMikdash as well, because if you were to look at Malachim Aleph Perek Hey, the fifth chapter of Kings 1, you would find that they used craftsmen from Tzor and Sidon in Lebanon for their wood. If you take a look at Rashi and Radak in Malachim Aleph, chapter 5, sentence 20, regarding Tzidon, you'll see more there. But yeah, this is something that we've done before, and we're going to do it now in order to say, hey, we are the descendants of those great people who built the first Beis HaMikdash. We are a legitimate national project. Okay, so that's in terms of the use of the cedar wood. That's the first thing I wanted to deal with today. But I also want to deal with a second thing, which is we're presenting this as the Jews' celebration of Sukkot when they enter into Eretz Yisrael. Fine. It's a big deal. They're now celebrating Sukkot. So the problem that I have is best seen by flipping ahead to Nehemiah chapter 7. If you look at the beginning of Nehemiah chapter 7, feel free to pause the recording while you turn the page. Vayihi kasher nivnasa choma. Nehemiah went back to build the walls of Yerushalayim so that the city would be defended, would be safe, would be a great city. That was his mission when he went back. Now we're told, and this is Nehemiah speaking, when the walls were built, va'amid hadlasos, I put up the doors, and all the gatekeepers and all the singers and all the levim were all in place. They were all set on their positions. And he says, I appointed or I commanded these two officers, who we'll talk about, God willing, when we get to Nehemiah chapter 7. And here's what I said to them. He gives instructions for when the gates are supposed to be open, when the gates are supposed to be closed. And then he writes, after that, in just a moment, Hashem put it in my heart to take a census of the people. We get a very long census of the people there, mirroring the census that we already saw in Ezra chapter 2. We'll have to talk about that, God willing, when we get to Nehemiah chapter 7. Is this a redundant census? Is it the same census? Is it a different census? There are some differences. But then in the last sentence of the chapter, we are told, the Kohanim, Leviim, the gatekeepers, the singers, the Nesinim, and all Israel are living in their cities. And the seventh month arrives, and the Jews are in their cities, which should ring a bell, because we said that before. The Jews were in their cities, and the seventh month arrived. And then chapter 8 begins, and it says, Vayeyasafu chol ha'am ki ish echad, and all the entire nation gathered as one, el rechov asher lifnei shar hamayim, to the plaza in front of the water gate. And Ezra did a great big public reading of the Torah in front of the water gate. There's a lot to talk about with that, God willing, when we get to Nehemiah chapter 8. And then it tells us, right after that, and here is the key, chapter 8, sentence 9, Nehemiah, as well as Ezra, and the Levium declared today, this was Rosh Hashanah, the first day of the seventh month, today is holy for Hashem. You should go celebrate. Don't cry. We'll talk more about that when we get there. And then on the second day, they come back as well. And then we're told they found recorded in the Torah, Vayimtzu Kasuv Bat Torah, we're in chapter 8, sentence 14, Asher Tziva Hashem Biyad Moshe, that God commanded via Moshe, Asher Yeshavu Bnei Yisrael Basukos Bechag Bachodesh Hashvi'i, that the Jews should sit in the Sukkah on Sukkot in the seventh month. And not only that, that a voice should be sent out, a message should be sent out, everybody should go to the mountains, and they should bring olive wood, and they should bring oil wood, and they should bring hadas, and they should bring dates, and date wood, and they should also, or date branches really, and they should also bring myrtle, in order to make Sukkot. Now, we'll have to talk about the list of species here. It's a very interesting list. When we get, again, to Nehemiah chapter 8, I'm not going to jump the gun on that right now. But we're told that the people go out and they prepare Sukkot for themselves in chapter 8, sentence 16, and they make this wonderful Sukkot, and here is the clincher, sentence 17. Vayasu kol ha'kahol ha'shavim and ha'shavi Sukkot. The entire nation that returned from the exile prepared Sukkot. I lost the place. Hang on. Vayeshavu basukot, and they dwelled in the Sukkot. Kilo asu mime Yoshua ben Nun kein b'nei Yisrael ad hayom ahu. Since the days of Yoshua, the Jews had not done this until this day. And they were very, very happy about these. Simcha gedolah me'od. There was great joy. And they read the Torah of Hashem day by day from the first day to the eighth day. And they celebrated the holiday all through till Shmini Atzeres. So it says in Nehemiah chapter 8. So now you understand why we have a problem. Because you're telling me that first of all, there's a global problem, which is, do they not celebrate Sukkot from Yoshua until now? That's an awfully long time. And it includes people like David HaMelech and Chizkiyahu HaMelech and Yoshiyahu HaMelech and a few other HaMelechs in between who were righteous HaMelechs. Like, what are you talking about? They didn't celebrate Sukkot from Yoshua until now. So that we'll have to discuss when we get to Nehemiah chapter 8. There's a lot to talk about. But right now, what I want to know is, in Ezra chapter 3, we said that they celebrated Sukkot. Why in Nehemiah chapter 7 are we getting this account, how they did a census, and then they read the Torah on the first day of Tishrei, and they discovered there's this thing called Sukkot, and they observed it? I don't understand. So, yeah, either you're going to tell me the section that's found in Nehemiah chapter 7 and 8 is part of the record of what happened in the first seventh month that we were reading about in Ezra chapter 3. But Ezra and Nehemiah themselves, the people, were there during the events of our chapter. That would mean that they were actually present. If this is the same story, if Nehemiah chapter 7 and 8 is describing what we read about in Ezra chapter 3, then Ezra and Nehemiah, who are involved in that building of the Sukkot and so on, were actually present in our story. Why is their arrival recorded later? Also, that section in Nehemiah chapter 7 and 8, I read it to you, it begins with the wall of Jerusalem complete, which it clearly is not at our stage of the story. On the other hand, if you're going to tell me that the section in Nehemiah chapter 8 is not part of the record of when on during the first seventh month that we've been reading about in Ezra chapter 3, then I don't understand why you're making a big deal like this is a very novel thing that you're celebrating Sukkot. You can't have it both ways. So how are we supposed to understand what's going on? So I'll say very quickly now, we'll have to come back to this in Nehemiah chapter 7 and 8. Malbim offers two solutions. Either the section in Nehemiah is actually part of the first seventh month, and Ezra and Nehemiah ascended twice, or it is in fact a seventh month of a later year. Why were they acting like this was the first time they celebrated Sukkot? Because it was celebrating with an actual sukkah, which is emphasized in Nehemiah chapter 7 and 8, and doesn't make it into our discussion in Ezra at all. What was new was building an actual sukkah. So he takes he offers you these two solutions. Either it's the same story, and Ezra and Nehemiah came up twice. They came up in our story, and then they came up later. And not discussing the question at all about the wall of Yerushalayim within that answer. Or alternatively, it was actually a later year, and what was novel was sitting in the sukkah. Now we can understand the idea that we talked about in the last chapter, that Zerubbabel and Nehemiah may be the same person. It's along the lines of Malbim's first approach, taking the view that the same events are being described in Ezra chapter 3 and in Nehemiah chapters 7 and 8. According to this, what happened was this. Nehemiah was Zerubbabel. He was called Zerubbabel initially when he arrived in the beginning as a Babylonian name. Then when he came back for good later on, he came back with Nehemiah, which is his Jewish name. We do know, we've talked about this, I think we talked about this when we learned Megillas Esther, that Jews in the Babylonian exile, ones we find recorded in Tanakh, end up being given Babylonian names as well. So Nehemiah is Zerubbabel, which is why Zerubbabel will disappear from the picture, because he stops being Zerubbabel, he's going to come back as Nehemiah. This is also going to play into a comment by Rashi in Ezra chapter 4. So what happens is, in fact, according to this read, Zerubbabel and Nehemiah are the same person. That's why we didn't mention Nehemiah in our part of the story in Ezra chapter 3. We were just calling him Zerubbabel. And then we're going to find him come back later on in the events in the book of Nehemiah. But fundamentally, the story in Nehemiah chapter 7 of celebrating Sukkot actually took place in Ezra chapter 3. It was the Sukkot of the first year, just being re-recorded in the book of Nehemiah later. Of course, this leaves the question open of what is Ezra's identity in Ezra chapter 3? Meaning, he wasn't named here. Is he also under another name? How does this fit with the idea that Ezra stayed in exile with Baruch ben Neriah until he made Aliyah, which we've talked about? That you could answer, okay, he came for a quick trip. That we can deal with. But fundamentally, what we've learned this morning, I hope, is number one, why they got the cedar wood. It was the reasonable source, or it was from the Persian king, or it was to emulate the first Beis HaMikdash with the workers from Tzor and Sidon. And then second, the story of celebrating Sukkot that we've been reading in Ezra chapter 3 seems to also appear in Nehemiah chapter 7 and 8. Either these are two separate Sukkot that happened, and what was novel about the second one was the use of the actual sukkah, or alternatively, what happens in our section is recorded again in Nehemiah later, but it is fundamentally the same story. And even though I don't see Nehemiah personally in our story, that's because he's being called Zerubbabel. What is Ezra being called? He does not, or we don't see it. Okay, more to discuss, God willing, tomorrow.